Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Louisiana appeals the Ten Commandments ruling to the full Court of Appeals. We're going to be talking about this development on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, I think it's very clear, you know, when there are others that are fighting against an issue that you know that it's an important issue. For example, the Ten Commandments, right? It's a part of our history, biblical as well as historical history. And so there is a law, a Louisiana law, that's requiring the Ten Commandments to be prominently displayed in all Louisiana classrooms. I think they were probably displayed before time, you know, years ago. And it's an important part of children learning our history, much less the biblical reasons for having the Ten Commandments. And so, of course, there's been some backlash about that in court.
Yeah, so there was obviously Ten Commandments were displayed in public school classrooms all over the country, many times, many places. They were displayed in Kentucky classrooms, and there was a challenge to that particular display back in 1980 that went to the United States Supreme Court. Interestingly, it was not fully briefed. It was never argued. It was at the petition for what we call certiorari, or petition for cert stage. And at the petition for cert stage, with no full briefing on the merits, no oral argument, the U.S. Supreme Court, in an activist decision, 1980, ruled that the Ten Commandments on the wall violated the so-called Establishment Clause, because if they had any effect at all, it would be to encourage the students who read the Ten Commandments to obey them and follow their commands, follow their directives.
That's a good thing.
Which would be a good thing, you know. Don't kill, don't commit
don't
adultery,
murder,
don't steal. Yeah.
But then you have these organizations, anti-religious organizations like the ACLU, Freedom From Religion Foundation, Americans United for Separation of Church and State, that all come against these because they do not want to see this. They say that it's promoting a type of religion.
Yeah, so they're all, and you know, the Americans United for Separation of Church and State and Freedom From Religion group, they're very, very hostile to any kind of Christian or religious viewpoint.
Which is really sad.
So Louisiana, after 2022, when the Supreme Court overturned the Lemon Test, we'll talk about that in a minute, passed a law, House Bill 71, that requires that the Ten Commandments be posted in classroom all over the state, from kindergarten all the way up through publicly funded colleges and universities. That was challenged, and a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the law was unconstitutional in violation of the Establishment Clause, relying in part regarding the 1980 Supreme Court decision. Now, what happened in 2022 is significant. Our case, Shurtleff versus City of Boston, unanimously 9-0 rejected reliance on the Lemon Test, Lemon versus Kurtzman from 1971, with regards to Establishment Clause issues. And we won that case 9-0. Then, in the case of Coach Kennedy, Kennedy versus Bremerton School District, the U.S. Supreme Court cited to our Shurtleff case that had been handed down just a few weeks earlier, and they effectively overruled the Lemon Test, the Lemon versus Kurtzman
case. Yeah, that was the final blow.
1971. Yeah. That was the final blow.
Mm-hmm.
And they replaced the Lemon Test by returning to traditional First Amendment standards, where courts must interpret the Establishment Clause, quote, by reference to historical practices and understandings, close quote. That's from the court's decision. So that means anything that relied upon Lemon from 1971, when it was handed down by the activist Supreme Court in the 1970s, and thereafter up to 2022, it's all gone. So what happened in 1980? 1980, the Stone versus Graham decision was really in line with Lemon. And so the lower court or I should say the three-judge panel, just seemed as though nothing changed in 2022, whereas a significant change occurred in 2022. So they're just going by the old system, and they say, well, this violates the Establishment Clause.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, how can they rule that with all that's happened?
Well, so now 17 judges, the full panel of the Court of Appeals, not just three, all 17 recently reheard that decision. And when they rehear a decision, they vacate the other decision. So the other decision by the three-judge panel is vacated, and it'll remain vacated until the 17 judges issue their opinion. And that argument just occurred. Two of the judges actually said, in response to the ACLU's argument, that the Stone versus Graham case actually controls the outcome. They say, well, wait a minute. Stone versus Graham is no longer good law. It relied upon Lemon. Lemon's overturned. So you can't rely upon Stone versus Graham. And by the way, even with Lemon in existence, Stone versus Graham was not a good precedent. Why? Again, it was never fully briefed on the merits, and it was never argued. It was a very activist decision that was done, very unusual, at the petition for cert stage, where you're simply just asking the court to consider the case for review. And those particular briefs, when you do that, do not address the merits of the case. They're looking at, are there conflicts among the courts? Is this a case of significant public importance that needs to be addressed? And if the court finds that, yes, there's conflicts, or yes, it's a significant issue that should be addressed, and they take the case, then the court issues briefing, and both sides fully brief it, and then they set oral argument, and both sides argue the case, and then they make a decision. It's a fully informed decision. They didn't do that with Stone. So it was not very precedential to begin with, even when Lemon was good law, still was in existence. It's no longer. It's gone. And so we'll wait and see how the Court of Appeals with 17 judges come down. But I anticipate that this case, you know, we're on a new day. And I think, Holly, one of the things that it's important for people to understand is what happened in 2022. We all know about the Dobbs decision overturned Roe versus Wade. People less know about the significant change with regards to overturning Lemon and the impact of a Lemon being gone. But Lemon was used to attack Ten Commandments, In God We Trust,
nativity scenes, public property,
Pledge of Allegiance, One Nation Under God, Bible clubs in public schools, churches renting public schools for services. And it was used in our Shurtleff case where, yeah, you can raise the flag of any viewpoint you want, and you can even raise that Christian flag as long as you think that the Christian flag is not Christian.
But on the other hand, look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the historical and educational purpose it has. And speaking of laws, look at all the laws upon which this is they are written upon the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, 12 of the 13 colonies adopted all 10 of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And the other colony adopted a good chunk of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is in the United States Supreme Court, inside and outside the building, about 50 times. It's the most prominent displayed document or image in the Supreme Court by far of any other.
And can you imagine us as a country to just totally eradicate the Ten Commandments and not follow any of that?
Well,
that would be total chaos.
Indisputable, and we have a book about the Ten Commandments and the influence on American law and government, a booklet, so you can order that if you'd like at Liberty Counsel. Go to our online store, lc.org. And it's something that came out of our litigation arguing the Ten Commandments, a case that I argued all the way to the United States Supreme Court out of Kentucky in 2004 and 2005 at the Supreme Court. One of the things that was fascinating in our research is how the Ten Commandments has significantly shaped the entire Western legal tradition and how it's shaped our foundations of American law and government and our notion of right and wrong. It's clearly shaped our system. Our laws are based upon the Ten Commandments. When you take an oath in a court of law to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, it's based upon the Ten Commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. that's what it's based upon. And there's much historical document to support that information. So continue to pray for this case and other cases where we're working with other governments to display the Ten Commandments. It's clearly something that we ought to know about and how it influences American law and government. We would not be the same nation,
right,
not just America, but even throughout Western civilization without the foundation of the Ten Commandments.
And children need to know this.
Yeah, and they do. So for more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.